is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning. It's Wednesday, right? Today's Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's good Wednesday.
World Cup.
Tomorrow, World Cup.
Officially starts.
Are you...
Not here.
Are you as excited as the Brazilian women are? They were excited last night, now.
I'm not that excited, but I'm very excited. I'm not excited enough to get a red card.
You're not as excited as a Brazilian woman?
Not to get a red card.
Eight red cards from the Brazilian women against the U.S. last night. The U.S. will just piss you off, I think. I think the U.S. just pisses people off.
I guess so.
Yeah. Got under their skin, beat their ass 1-0. Eight red cards.
Well, it was like five of the three or four coaches got red cards.
Yeah.
And then two players after the game was over because of blatant disrespect got red cards.
Blatant disrespect.
The U.S. should have won that game like 3-0. They had lots of opportunities to score. The Brazilian goalkeeper was great. The U.S. went down there for a couple friendlies in Brazil. They lost the first one over the weekend. They dominated chances this time around, and the Brazilians weren't thrilled. They were looking to make a statement because I believe the Women's World Cup is in Brazil next year. So this was a test run for the U.S. And I wouldn't even call it that hostile because the U.S. kind of did whatever they want. It's just that it was going poorly for the women of Brazil, and they didn't react well.
It's the first time that we've won there since 97.
Did you see this devastating injury with the red card?
No.
Oh, this got a red card. Watch this.
Emily Sonnet. That was a yellow. That was the second yellow that led to the red for the Brazilian player.
You got to go off on that.
Yellow to red.
She pushed her in the shoulder.
She pushed her in the shoulder.
That hurt.
And then she went down like...
Yeah, that hurt. That hurt. It hurt.
We SGA'd.
That's ridiculous.
We kind of had to SGA it.
But why did she push her? Stop pushing people.
Yeah, she was pushing
I think you learned that in kindergarten.
Don't keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. She pushed her and like seconds or some minutes later.
And you know what? It worked. And the referee can't see everything, so all she sees in her periphery is someone going to the ground, and it's already a highly charged situation. All right, get out of here. I don't want to deal with you. Beat it. And that's kind of what happened.
Yep. Two yellows make a red, apparently.
Yeah, sorry. Keep your hands to yourself. Yep. You don't get a second yellow.
There were two yellows. Two yellows to reds, and then the rest were just all reds.
Straight to red.
Well, yeah, the staff got three reds.
Yes, I'm saying. They got thrown out before the game was even over. One of the Brazilian women late in the game elbowed one of our Triple Espresso girls right in the face, and that got her a straight red.
Wow.
And then as I mentioned, you had a couple reds for like blatant disrespect of the referee after the match where, you know, the match is over, but they roll up there to say, hey, you screwed all this up. She's like, get out of here. Get out of here. Red, red. And then, you know, the game's over. It's a friendly. It's not going to carry over. So they had their say, but the U.S. won.
So they don't care.
It's a friendly. They don't carry over.
They don't care.
You have to like legit. You would have to probably. It has to be raised to a level where you said something so crazy that FIFA comes down and drops a suspension on you based off just your actions that are irregular. But if you just get a red, they'll just wipe it away.
Look at the women taking all the attention away from the World Cup.
Well, it gets a primer.
Well, on this show right now.
Yeah, you decide to start with that as opposed to something else.
Well, what did you want to talk about? 10-1? Well, is that what you wanted?
Well, I mean,
I guess not.
Kai Waiting was not very good. Man, he was just throwing meatballs up there. Holy crap. It was over in the second inning.
Yeah.
Game was over.
Once they hit 4-0, it felt like, ooh. Because the offense wasn't doing anything.
Nope.
Wasn't getting anything done. So now you've scored one run in the last two games. Not ideal. But the good news is, according to our minor league correspondent, Del Olalea, Christian Javier is looking really good right now.
What do you mean you scored one run in the last two games? You beat him 5-4 the game before.
Oh, no. It was the game before that.
Yeah.
In two of the last three games. Okay. I just ignore the middle game.
You just ignored the win?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ignore the win.
All right.
The zero before that.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was just, that was just terrible. We went out, ready, let's go beat the Angels again. Let's destroy all their hopes and dreams.
Yeah. It was an interesting lead up because the Mariners nearly blew a game. In fact, they did blow it, but they were able to come back and win an extra innings because the Mariners are having issues closing out games. They've been going through guys, much like the Astros.
Maybe they'd like Josh Hader.
Well, that would be something. but before Hader came back, you know, we had our questions about who closes games. The Mariners have been going through it, but they found a way to win. And I was like, you know what? Damn it. But, you know, it's the Angels.
Yeah.
We'll be fine. Tang has been pitching okay.
He's been pitching good.
The last start wasn't great, and this one followed up with another bad start.
I mean, if you're going to be picky about it.
I mean, the last start wasn't great before this one, and then he continued the downturn last night. I was like, you know what? Hockey or the Astros. Tang made it pretty
hockey
easy.
Won that.
Tang made it pretty easy. I was like, all right.
That was good. I'm telling you, it's been a great series. Yeah, I mean, somebody said... And a writer. We had a caller.
Larry called yesterday.
You guys are missing the greatest
Stanley Cup final.
What?
And someone tweeted us, great call, Larry, and it was a gif of Kermit.
The Stanley Cup final.
He's been calling for years.
He's called. Yeah, I love Larry. But you know Larry right away by his voice.
You know him right up.
Right off.
There's two Larrys. There's Larry in Stafford, and there's Larry... Larry, yeah,
right,
and they couldn't sound more different. Substantially different tones.
Yeah, and he was right, though. That was a great game.
It was.
I mean, it was 2-0 in the first 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah, but right
and
back.
And then, yeah, came right back.
That's how that series is gone. Big leads just go away, and teams fight back and either come back all the way or at least tie it. And then Carolina won in Vegas to make it a 2-2 series, so. I mean,
it's a three-game series now.
I had a choice, and I gravitated towards the hockey.
Well, the Astros have a chance to win the series tonight. Lambert, what time is that game? Is that a night game?
That is, 8:38.
Okay, we're not a day game. Okay,
nope.
So you got a chance to win that. Lambert is a small underdog. Detmers is a small favorite. He's 2-5 with a 4.26. A WHIP of 1.14. His WHIP's been pretty good. But Peter Lambert's pitched well for the Astros. He's been really consistent since he's come up. He's looked like, you know, he's pitching like one of those pitchers pitched last year when we had for so long the AAA lineup, the starting rotation for so long, and you had guys who were, Jason Alexander, for example, who looked consistent last year for a long stretch of time. That's what Lambert's actually looked like this year for the Astros. Yep. So I give the Astros a... You know, a decent chance to win this game. He's only given up 3 home runs in 50 innings. He's not a guy who gives up a lot of long balls, so we'll see. We'll see how it pans out.
So help is on the way, as Dell mentioned. Hunter Brown pitches tonight. He'll throw 75 pitches, and then he'll be back in the rotation. Mm-hmm. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, he could possibly pitch. He'll pitch either Monday or Tuesday against Detroit back here. Probably Tuesday, I would imagine. Tuesday back here, which is Lambert's next start, but you're going to have, and you push Lambert down, and then you figure out, is Burrow's gone? And then, not only that, Christian Javier had an outing.
Three perfect innings.
Three perfect innings.
With 3 strikeouts, the velocity up to 94.
Well,
which is high for him.
That is high for him.
Now, here's the question. This is a serious question. How was he hurt early in the year when he had been off all that time?
I mean, I think he's been out because of suck, if you want to know the truth.
Well, I mean, throwing 94, you can say that, but the velocity has been down. Not a ton. Actually, this year it wasn't down a ton. It was down about a mile an hour. But how was he out that, like, suck isn't going to keep him out for...
Well,
he didn't even work.
He sucked even down in the minors. He sucked.
Well, he sucked, but he didn't even throw very many pitches. He had a long period of time where he did nothing.
Yeah, No,
that's not what you want to do. That all that does is prolong the time you can
come
back.
What did they say it was? It wasn't arm fatigue. It wasn't fatigue.
I think
that
was tightness or something like that. He was shoulder, I think.
I'm almost convinced he was, okay, we're putting him on the IL.
Here's what I think. I think he just wasn't in good shape coming off of spring. I think these guys are not ready. I don't think they're ready. I think a real question has to be asked about how so many pitchers got hurt at the beginning of the year when they just started off.
Yeah.
It just got started. Is the preparation to get your arm ready, was it not good? Because how do guys get hurt when they've been off the whole offseason?
Well, he had a grade 2 right shoulder strain.
I know. How did he get that shoulder strain? Is he not stretching properly?
Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
We can't just keep saying these are the injuries. What are the causes, root causes of the injuries? And is some of it because you're not stretching properly? You're not warming up properly? You're not going through, they don't have a series of lead-ups that build the arm strength. There's something going on. It happened to three different pitchers. Imai, Hunter Brown, and Christian Javier. How is that not raising a red flag that maybe the preparation wasn't what it needed to be? It should be. To start the season, three guys get hurt when they had been off the entire offseason other than, you know, coming back in spring. That just looks like a preparation thing.
Yeah, Hunter Brown was diagnosed also with a grade 2 right shoulder strain.
Yeah.
So they both had them.
Who was it? What general manager said, we're not getting ready properly. We're not throwing enough in the spring, or we're not.
Whoever coming. He was probably right.
Well, but he pissed the pitcher off and said, you know, hey, don't tell me how to get ready. I know what I'm doing.
It was Dana Brown. He said that.
It was Dana Brown.
He said about Hunter Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. Dana Brown said it about Hunter Brown.
Yeah. And he goes, Hunter was like, well, I think Dana actually said he was throwing too hard. Like, I think that was his problem.
In the spring, he was throwing.
During spring training. And then Hunter Brown was like, well, I do the same thing every year. I mean, that can be his opinion, but it's the same thing I do every year.
All I know is that there is a multitude of pitchers with a magnitude of influence on games who are hurt for the Astros year after year after year. So maybe look at your process.
Yeah.
Maybe look at your process.
Dana, maybe look at the way that
maybe
Hunter's
Dana's
doing.
Right. I mean, three starters get hurt early in the season. Maybe they're not ready to throw yet. So what are you doing in the spring?
Dana Brown he made comments that perhaps the shoulder strain was caused by the fact that Hunter Brown was nearing triple digits throwing in spring, and saying maybe that arm was going too much early, and Hunter was like, this is what I always do. So I remember we had a conversation about that, Dana Brown out there saying stuff. So he was saying, you're going too hard.
Well, maybe Dana's onto something here. Dana Brown isn't a pitching coach or a trainer or any of those things. So I could see where the player would get, Hunter Brown would be like, well, shut up. This is how I do it. And
I'll see. Shut up, Dana. I'll see you in 10 weeks.
That's right. It's right.
Okay, Hunter, I guess April 1st was the last time you pitched. Maybe stop telling people to shut up and maybe try to get back before 10 weeks are over. Well, and the Astros are 7 games under 500.
But help is on the way. Help is on the way.
Unless it gets
7 games under 500, 31-38. And we're nearing the halfway point of the season. And the Astros will not, at the halfway point, I'm going to go out on a limb. They will not be at 500. They'll be under 500 at the halfway point. So that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're at 69 games right now. They got 12 to go. Unless they go out on an unbelievable stretch right here. And I hope so. I hope they do. I hope they do go on an unbelievable stretch.
It starts tonight.
Yep. It starts tonight with Peter Lambert against somebody named Detmers. Reed Detmers. A lefty. Going against a lefty tonight. 713-780-3776. If you talk funny, you're more than welcome to get in here. Or whatever it is that you want to do, you can do that right here.
Did
on ESPN.
Any Spurs fans get beat up last night in New York? Or
no, but the Knicks and Spurs both condemned it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I didn't hope they weren't going to condone it.
Yeah, they condemned it.
I was like, what are they going to condone? Is it going to be condemn or condone?
And they apparently called Mamdani and the police department party poopers because they can't have a bigger watch party.
Oh, bigger one.
They're going to limit it. They're going to limit it.
Oh, after that, party. All that stuff went down.
Yeah. Why wouldn't we want more people out there?
Maybe the NYPD we saw in those videos maybe need to step in and keep things. Of course, those were Knicks fans fighting Knicks fans in that video.
Right.
I didn't even see them around for the Spurs fans who were getting,
there was
getting
nobody,
their jerseys ripped off. And then if they tried to
fight back, they get their.
Really, problem. They wouldn't have gotten punched if they would have just taken the jerseys off and let them.
Let's just let the Knicks fan rip that jersey right off you, and you would have been fine.
This is what you got to do. Keep take it off yourself. Let them burn it.
Or that.
I know you spent $160 on your jersey. Let them burn it.
Better yet, when you're in, you know, enemy territory, try not to wear the opposing uniform.
These are all things.
Not even a black shirt. Wear a white shirt.
Be neutral.
Wear a white shirt.
You know, does it sound like we're victim blaming? Sure.
Yeah.
But it's just the reality of the situation.
Okay. If you're at war and you're the only person there with the enemy's colors on, with the enemy uniform, you're going to probably lose.
Yeah, don't run into battle by yourself.
Right.
Have you seen the video of I know you've seen it, of Nick Schofield, who used to work for the Texans, as part owner of Trailburger now. You seen his video of walking through Dodger Stadium with all his Astros stuff on? Yeah. You've seen it before.
And he's
got a video and he's walking. And a couple of them, a guy grabs his hat at the end or whatever. But they're cussing at him. Like, you can sit, boy, you can really feel the intensity of Dodger fans. And I was just thinking, that would not be me. I would have generic shirt on.
I wore my colors there.
Why would you wear your colors there when they're stabbing? Because told people not to wear it
Being at the regular season Dodger game and being in New York for the NBA Finals are two different things.
What if you're there for a World Series?
World Series? You know what? People went, though, and said it was fine. They did. They went and said they were fine. And we saw a lot of people at Dodger Stadium.
Well, I'm sure Spurs fans in the building had no problems.
Yeah, right.
Once they got outside of the building and you had the mob mentality crank up. Because you see people smiling. Like, they're so excited to be part of someone beating up a Spurs fan. Is the excitement levels off the charts?
And you know,
can see it. They
and
were
you
like,
do know there's
amazing.
Video, and you can get arrested for assault from it. You do know that, right?
Yeah, the recognition stuff like this. I guess they had 20 arrests the other night, but to go up to 26 after they won.
Right.
We'll see what the number looks like today. My guess is the police are going to be out and really in full force.
I mean, just so stupid. It's a game. Why are we beating people? I mean, it's a game. And it's not even the last game.
Knicks fans,
you guys are getting arrested for game two.
I don't know if it was Dell said this or maybe you said it yesterday. Knicks fans at this point have this new thing that they've developed where they don't have to be at the games, but it's the yelling and screaming and F this and F that. You know, they do the videos after the games. Yeah. They've got this reputation that they feel like they've developed that they want to uphold.
It's like Philly fans.
Yeah, it is.
Philly fans just, we got to take it to another level. Mm-hmm. And Knicks fan is doing that now. I'm the most unbelievable Knicks
fan. Well, the street Knicks fans.
Yeah, right.
I don't know about the ones paying
$16,000
a ticket.
The ones in San Antonio were pretty rowdy.
Some guy, I saw some guy in New York say, when that Knicks fan got beat up by the Spurs fans, that was a green light for us to beat up all Spurs fans. Like, I don't even know what he's talking about. I have no idea what he's talking about.
What Spurs fan beat up a Knicks fan?
There's fights that happen in every at every event. But what happened to these Spurs fans, I counted four in different videos.
Yeah.
One was a streamer who was on Kickstream, so everyone says he deserves what happens to him. And I'm kind of the mind that streamers just do deserve to get beat up. I've gotten to that point now.
Well, you're
Chud the Builder. See you in prison, Chud.
Yep. I
actually won't see you in prison.
No,
but
you
good
won't.
Luck in prison.
No. What I found is that I don't know how many, what number of times we had to call Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company, and you have done it as well.
Mondani should have had more plumbers posted up around New York so people wouldn't have been so frustrated.
Well, you think
Billy
that the lack of flushing
there?
Toilets really
I'm
led
saying,
to this?
They were like, I got to get out of the house. My plumbing's all screwed up. Hey, let's go down by the garden and beat people up.
Maybe. Could be it. You know what? If they had, but they don't have Aqueduct Plumbing Company there. That's the problem with New York City. The problem with New York City is they don't have Aqueduct Plumbing Company. We as a city have Aqueduct Plumbing Company. We're better for it. It's a better city. because, you know, have you the typical New York plumber?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think he's making, he's coming in, he's charging you too much, he's got the butt crack thing going on. It's a disaster.
We don't do that here.
We don't do that.
We just have,
I'm not sure about the butt crack thing. We probably get some of that. But, but we got honest guys that are going to give you a great,
They don't even charge you to come out and diagnose what the problem is. Like, no, you don't even charge you. And they say, look, if you want to go somewhere else to fix it, that's fine. But just know we're going to have the best prices. We're going to do the best work. We're completely transparent. And that's the difference. That's the Aqueduct Plumbing Company difference. Any job, big or small, they are 100% going to be your new plumber. 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
What a dummy. Yes. I mean, so I'm looking for, I need a hit tonight. Dell, who's going to get a hit tonight? Jordan? He's facing a lefty. Detmers is a lefty.
You can pick any player across
baseball. Any player in baseball. I am a couple of hits away from winning nice money.
Well, Kyle
Tucker's
got a big game with the Cubs against the Rockies, according to AI.
Isn't he a Dodger?
Yeah, well,
AI told me. I got to push back on you a little bit here. He signed with the Cubs. And then I finally had to go put, I copied and pasted his ESPN link in. And it went, fair. Let me actually check rather than keep insisting. You're right. I was wrong twice. Tucker signed with the Dodgers this pass off.
So it doesn't even know who Kyle Tucker plays for.
We're gonna be okay.
To be fair.
Now it's saying, let me redo this. Number one, Kyle Tucker versus Jared Johnson. Now it's saying Kyle Tucker's the best possible choice.
I don't mind that, but I got Michael Bush tonight in Colorado. Michael Bush. Nervous. I'm three hits away from money.
Here's the names they give you. Kyle Tucker versus Jared Jones, Pittsburgh. Caminero versus
I don't love Jared Jones looked really good against the Astros. I don't love
Junior Caminero versus Jake. Well, Astros aren't always great.
Yeah.
Versus Jake Bennett. Yeah, but either is Kyle Tucker. So back-to-back lefty with a 4.35 ERA and only 4 Ks on the year. He doesn't miss bats.
Who is this?
Bryce.
Junior Caminero.
Then you have Bryce Harper versus Max Scherzer.
Oh.
Scherzer has a 964 ERA.
Yeah,
had real command issues. Harper's historically hit him well.
Oh, really?
Harper's hit prop is one of the safest on the board tonight, it says. Pete Crow Armstrong, a.k.a. PCA, versus Michael Lorenzen in Colorado.
I got Michael Bush instead of PCA.
Okay, and then Cal Raleigh versus Brandon
Young. Bregman got a couple of hits last night because he's... Bregman might come out of it now because after he said how terrible he is, now he's starting to
who are you going
light it
for,
up a
who
little.
Do you have?
I got Michael Bush.
I'm gonna say now Michael Bush's chances.
Yeah,
I'll break down his chances of getting a hit
and Jordan's. Well, in the meantime, let's get Vincent in here. Vincent wants to talk a little Jack in the Box tacos. What do you say, Vincent?
Hey guys, what's going on? You were talking about Jack in the Box tacos last week, and that kind of reminded me. Have you guys ever been to La Lucha restaurant in Houston?
Yeah, they've got the Jack in the Box tacos.
Okay, yeah. The chef there, he was a big fan of Jack in the Box tacos in college, so he made his own version of Jack in the Box tacos with shrimp, and they're freaking delicious.
With shrimp?
Yeah, with shrimp.
So they just dip them in grease and
well, they're made better than that. They're made better.
There's
than
nothing like the taste of Jack in the Box tacos, though. I mean,
they're made a little bit. I mean, they're made better than
they're made better. But yeah,
fresher,
well, everything is made better than a Jack in the Box taco.
He's talking about Bobby Matos. I know Bobby, and he's he created a burger that I want to say was supposed to be like Whataburger. Maybe it's supposed to be like a diner burger. So La Lucha had that, and I'm trying to, like, the menu, food and drinks.
Called the Classic H-Town Pharmacy Burger. Does yeah. that sound right?
Yeah.
And also, it. Yeah, they're called crispy shrimp tacos, also known as late night treat, which is what Jack in the Box tacos
that's
can
what
be.
They are.
So that's what they are. Yeah, there's shrimp, American cheese, spicy arbol chili, yeah. Chile. But I imagine they're going to hit your tongue a little differently than Jack in the Box's
and
frozen tacos.
Your
stomach as well.
Credit.
Yeah.
Oh, you're well, it'll cost more as well. They're not 99 cents.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the
yeah,
problem.
They're not 99 cents, but they're very good. Very
yeah,
good.
They are good.
Check it out.
Yeah, but for 99 cents, I can get two Jack in the Box tacos.
For
yeah.
what it costs to get these tacos, you could get, if I'm reading this right, you can get 17 pairs of tacos. Nearly.
yeah, I think
oh, guess
right.
who wins?
Jack there is the no getting around the fact that, yeah, here it is, $16.95 for his tacos. The pharmacy burger is $15.95. It's over the last probably 7 years, since COVID, really, we've seen an explosion in prices of burgers yeah. where if you find a burger at a restaurant for less than $10, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's an absolute miracle.
Well, I don't know if I want it, if you want to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this yesterday. It's about there's a Five Guys out in the country, and he was like, me and my wife went and we spent $20. I was like, $20? Do you... In L.A., you can't find a burger for under 20.
Wait, who are you talking to?
Like the guy, he lives in the country. He owns Luling's.
Oh.
He owns Luling's. And
he owns a place.
And he was complaining about paying $20 for him and his wife with fries, the two of them together. He said, I'll never go back there.
And that's a miracle price.
Oh, my God.
Burger and fries for 10 apiece?
Yes, for $10 each.
That's almost the
best. And he was like, out in the country, though, now you get some cheap, you can get some good deals.
Why?
On
their
food.
Meat doesn't cost the same?
Oh.
I get rent is going to be cheaper. When I don't know.
Everything
you
should
probably,
be
cheaper. Well, I don't know.
I mean, country, you have to live out in the country. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
You should get some discounts on stuff, right? I mean... If you're put through that, having to live out there,
they
where
don't see it
no
that
Astros.
Way, right?
Where,
oh. No, they say that they get to stay away from city drivers.
Yeah,
people drive
city folk
who don't pay attention to red lights.
That's stupid. Well, I don't. Who are those people? I really, really.
You know, my wife's the same way. She told me years ago, if I'm somewhere and it's late at night or early in the morning,
yeah.
I'm not. She said, I'll stop at a red light, but if there's no one there, I'm going. I'm not going to just sit there waiting for somebody
to carjack. I know, it's stupid.
She said, waiting for somebody to carjack me.
Yeah.
She thinks it's a safety issue.
It is a safety issue.
You don't think of it that way.
I do. I'm worried about getting carjacked.
Is that so?
Or sitting at a light when no one is around.
There it is. That's the reason.
Why would I do that? That's
there.
The dumbest
That's
thing ever.
The real reason.
There is no one anywhere, and
rules
I'm just going
to
sit
John.
There.
You're the Texas Tech
don't
drivers.
Don't go to Japan. Don't go to Japan.
You don't care about rules.
They don't think like that. There could be no one coming, and you'll have 150 people standing on the side of the road waiting for it to turn green.
Hey, I know. And by the way, I got pulled over in L.A.
Again?
For crossing the street. Oh, I told you, right?
Yeah.
Uh-uh. Crossing the street when I wasn't supposed to. I got pulled over for that. On a scooter. Woo! I was on a scooter. Okay?
A motorized scooter?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Woo!
All
you
right.
own one,
What
don't
did the
you?
Officer say to you?
Yeah,
you own the scooters, don't you?
Yeah.
What did the officer say to you?
He said, listen, there's been some. I was like, dude, I'm old. I know how to cross. I know how to cross a street.
Now he's using it to his advantage.
Yeah, I know how to. I've been crossing streets for a long time.
I just didn't know
time.
If you could see, sir.
And he was like,
well,
"Yeah,
you
but
being so old,
we've had
I didn't
some
know if you could
deaths."
See.
I was like, "Well, if I die, why do you care?"
Well, he's a good human being. Possibly,
why, can't you just? Why do you just not comply?
Because
he won't. Well,
he won't comply.
It's privilege.
No, uh huh. Did
no,
he get taste? No.
It's so
no,
stupid.
Of
people
comply.
Standing, people standing on the corner. When there's no one and you don't cross the street.
We're rule followers in
you're
this
country. Idiots. No,
comply.
You're a bunch of sheep is what you are.
Are you a wolf and we're all sheep?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a wolf. You're damn right.
John's is like, rules for thee, not for me.
Of course.
Yeah. No. The rules are not. It's the rules. So if there's anyone coming, you know. But if there's no one coming,
hey,
go.
That does not say
if
that.
If there's no one coming, you,
it
you
does
know.
Not say
trying
that anywhere.
To New York, their L.A. Okay? Those are New York rules. Stop trying to New York their L.A.
Oh, really? Yeah, because no one breaks any rules in L.A.
No.
Yeah.
Not the ones you break.
Oh, yeah. And caught you. And I ran a stop sign and got a ticket, too.
Well, maybe what stop breaking doing? The rules.
Start following
you keep getting
the
caught.
Rules.
You're not even a good rule breaker.
I know.
I just ran
the
rolling.
Stop sign. I was rolling through it. And he was sitting there, and
you're not great at breaking the rules. You get caught too much.
Yeah.
So, wait, did you get. You got pulled over.
I got a ticket for that one.
No, yeah, but you didn't get a ticket for the other one, right?
No, I didn't get a ticket. I got a warning.
A warning.
So you stand on it and go like that?
Yeah.
You just hit the button. Pull it.
I just don't. Yeah. I'm not taking chances. Too many times where I rode that cheap skateboard I had as a kid and you hit one little pebble or rock and you go flying forward off.
Technology's changed. I know.
I found out, wait, skateboards can actually roll over a pebble and not send you flying? Yeah.
And by the way, we live on a hill that's straight down. It's you can go pretty fast. You can go pretty fast when you're going down.
I just hope you obey the laws of the land going forward.
F the land. F the rules.
You keep getting caught.
I do.
You need to live in a country.
That's
where
my
it doesn't
first
matter.
Ticket in.
If he lived in the country, he would have these tickets.
Yeah, I could. You can blow those. There's a light with no one anywhere for miles in the country.
Yeah,
you're going to sit there and a red light.
I've done it before, but I did think to myself, this is
really stupid.
I mean, this is really,
really stupid.
And I've actually gone through one. I've stopped and I'm like,
well,
if they have a red light camera, I'm busted.
I'm just going to tell you guys that you are well within your rights. And I commend you if you're in the middle of the country and there's a red light and you run it, you guys go ahead and do that. Two Americas. I ain't doing that.
Look at Ryan in the chat says, quote, if this rule you followed brought you to this, of what use was this rule? Either John Gartano or Anton Chigurh. Can't remember. Are you like no country for old men? Call it, friend. You're telling the traffic cop. Yep. Call it, friend. The ticket writer on and how about the ticket people who just walk down the street giving people tickets on their cars? They think they're so much better than everybody.
Yep. I got.
You can see with every ticket they write, they're saying in their head, they're saying,
I got a parking ticket there, too.
What? How many tickets? The problem. John Granato, the problem.
Well, always has been.
Yeah, my wife was like, man, can you just follow the rules?
You're
once?
The mason of your family.
Yep, yep,
I'm every time I'm opening up a letter like, why do you have a $140 parking ticket?
Yeah.
Because you haven't done any for 6 months? You haven't taken care of this, you dummy? What are you doing? You're throwing money away.
That's what he does. That's what we do. You don't even need any money if you go to the soccer game for free.
No, and you know what? I put this out there on social media yesterday because I felt bad. Because yesterday when I told you this, I only had a few locations. They've added locations for you to win. This is a real thing. If you can't win tickets through Michelob Ultra to the World Cup, if you don't win them, like, for example, on Thursday at one location, try again on Friday, then try again on Saturday, then try again on Sunday. I'm going to give you a list right now of Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay, it's pretty extensive. Or go look at my social media, at Lance Zierlein, and go find where I've posted all the events, all the times, and all the locations. It's on there as well. Thursday, we're at Ojos Locos and Memorial 5 to 8. 2 to 5 is Rodeo Goat in Edo. Friday, 5 to 8 p.m., Christian's Tailgate at White Oak. On Saturday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., Papa's on the Lake in Montgomery. 4 to 7 p.m. is going to be the Marriott Marquis downtown. And also on Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m., I've got two of them, Highline Park in the Heights and Little Woodrow's in Edo, and then 7 to 10 p.m. And you know what? You could actually hit multiple spots on Saturday now I'm thinking about it. 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., Moonshine Deck in the Heights. Let me just hit you with Sunday. Noon to 3, Chapman and Kirby at Edo. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., Twin Peaks on Kirby. And then 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., Fabian's Latin Flavors downtown. All of these give you a chance to win World Cup tickets by competing in an interactive soccer shootout. The winner's going to go home with a pair of tickets to the Houston-based FIFA World Cup game, a chance to win your tickets. Look how many Michelob Ultra is hooking you up with. Play for a chance to witness history because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents, excluding California and Washington residents 21 and older. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules/ for prizes and details.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I like that. We got a good crop of young interns this year. They all, and they shake hands. Avery and Ethan are out there. And
yeah, they're the ones who came in the other day.
They are.
Yeah. I think Avery's here almost every day. I've never seen an intern in this. No, that's not true. We had Kenneth used to be in a lot.
Yeah, Kenneth used to be here a lot. Kenneth
we had that here. Older guy that
Kenneth
was in a lot.
Kenneth had to keep his mouth shut.
You're the one who wanted him to keep his mouth shut.
Kenneth knew that, you know. He knew the code.
See,
Kenneth
I don't love this. Makes me uncomfortable. This whole intern can't talk about what you do with them.
We don't do anything that they should need to be quiet.
Whatever you hear,
what do they hear?
I don't know.
What do you?
Number of things.
I mean,
have you not done the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even want them talking about things that happen on the air.
Well,
I feel uncomfortable when things are re-aired.
Well. Since it's aired, I think it's public knowledge.
If you didn't catch it the first time, too bad. We got away with it.
Oh.
Well, that's how I look at
it. But it's on podcast.
Yeah. And you can always go back and see
And the YouTube it. Saves the entire day of streaming, so they can go back and watch it as well.
They're the ones that save it.
But there's no reason for us to promote it.
Okay.
Where people could actually see it.
You are positioning us as a place where awful things are said.
Mm. Sam, don't put us on there.
Well, now it's Lexi.
What we said on the show again.
Sam was a muckraker. No doubt about it. Yeah.
Now she's muckraking for Spring School District or whatever.
And that's
The Big 12 ADs had a little conference call yesterday just so they could just complain to each other about, can y'all believe the Sorsby thing, right? Isn't this terrible, right, guys? The reverberations from a judge's decision to allow Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby to play in the wake of his sports gambling admissions continue to ripple through college sports. The Big 12 ADs held a spirited call around midday with Commissioner Brett Yormark. The call underscored that the league's athletic directors, except for Texas Tech's Kirby Hocutt, are unifying around the notion that Sorsby should not be eligible for next season. The conversation came in wake of blah, 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 blah. The tenor of Tuesday's call being strongly against Texas Tech and Hocutt was an expected result considering athletic directors in the league have said they are disgusted, disheartened, and sad over the judge's decision. Okay, what was the point of making this phone call, though? In the judge's ruling, he said, this is my ruling, and no one can do anything bad against Brandon and Texas Tech. That was part of it, too. Like, and you can't,
oh, right.
And you can't have any repercussions against them. Mm. What are we doing?
Yeah.
This is stupid. So the Big 12 ADs got on like, right? Am I right? Yes. I knew I wasn't crazy for thinking this is stupid. Yeah, exactly. What are y'all going to do? I'm just going to have a tersely worded email to Hocutt. What else? I'm just going to say stuff at a press conference. What else are you going to do? I just wanted to talk to you guys, see what y'all's thoughts were. What's the point of this dumb phone call? A bunch of ADs got on a phone call together to do what? To bitch and complain on a conference call? Who cares?
Why didn't they invite Texas Tech on it?
He probably
to yell at them.
I know.
Yeah, or to defend themselves.
I'm not coming on. I know what this is going to be.
Well,
he probably just said, "I ain't coming on your dumb conference call. You're just going to be mad at me and Brendan Sorsby."
I saw someone text
Cody Campbell.
Listen, I think Texas Tech graduates aren't happy about this. One of them said, listen, let's just, everybody can cheat now, and there's no repercussions for it in school. You know what? Give us all, everybody gets a 4.0 because we can all cheat now.
I'd say the majority are fine with it. They may not be fine with it, but they're not going to go against it. They're going to keep their mouth shut because that's what you do now. You click up with your team, and you cheer on bad stuff.
Yeah.
That's how it works now. That's how the world works.
Yeah.
I got to keep my mouth shut, my side. And let's face it, they could benefit from this.
Right. That's
a great deal.
That's how Plattner's going to get elected in Maine.
The guy's a good player.
Yep. He's on my side. I don't care if he's got a Nazi tattoo. Well, doesn't matter.
Well, that's politics in general. It's right, left. It doesn't matter.
Right. Doesn't matter.
I'm not even going to get into it, but I've had conversations with people who, in my family, who believe one thing, and then they decided, hey, you know what? I know I believed that 20 years ago. I don't believe it anymore.
Right.
I've made some changes. Like, okay.
Okay. No, that's fine. Everybody, you know what? Vote for your conscience.
Whatever.
And vote. But listen, 85% of the people polled yesterday said it's wrong for what Texas Tech is doing. And you know what? It is. And your argument, somebody will pick them up. Well, then that somebody's wrong.
No.
That somebody is wrong.
My point is that this won't stand. Like, if Texas Tech is going to look at this as, why would we just give them up when someone else is going to take them?
That's not a justification for taking them.
Hold on. The court said you're good.
I know the court said you're good, and the court is wrong. The court's been wrong before.
Well, people in their regular lives don't have the same energy for anything political. No one will comment on anything negative that anyone they're associated with does. Texas Tech ain't going to start. They're not going to start this whole process. The court said you're good. And so Texas Tech isn't going to try to, you know, Cody Campbell's starting to take a lot of heat. And they're saying, you're literally the face and voice of trying to change college athletics, right? You've got commercials out there. You've set up a website, all that. You're supposed to be the voice of all this, but you're definitely the owner of Texas Tech University. Like Tillman Fertitta, Tillman only kind of owns U of H. There's Dasper still throws a bunch of money at him. Mattress Mac does.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other people who are throwing money.
Tillman's not nearly as involved.
But Tillman still has a big part. But Cody Campbell owns owns Texas Tech's athletic department. He owns it.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire who's financing it. And so everyone's saying, okay, then it falls on you.
Well, it should.
What do you think? Why are you okay with this? And everyone knows he's not going to, I think Sorsby's getting $6 million. I mean, where do you think it's coming from? It's going to be coming a chunk of it's probably coming directly from Cody Campbell.
Campbell said himself, I'm happy to pay him $5 million. He said that on, I don't know if it was an interview.
This isn't right, but this is the system that's broken. I'm trying to fix it.
See, we talked about it. The system he is allegedly trying to fix has nothing to do with gambling on your own team. That's nonsense. That's him conflating something to distract everyone because I guess he thinks we're all dumb. Like, we can't tell the difference between NIL money, transfer portal, coaches poaching other players or other coaches' players. And this guy bet on his own team. And didn't just bet on him, bet on the unders on his own team.
Yeah.
Bet for his team to not do well. Does Cody Campbell think we're all dumb and we don't know the difference when he says the system's broken? There's nothing broken about the system that says gambling on your own team is a bad idea.
Right. And especially gambling. Well, you're really gambling against
your own team.
He was
gambling against his own team.
Yep. You're gambling against. He could argue. I think our defense is so great. That's why.
Passing. I guess we won't have to pass because we're getting stops or we'll run the ball a lot. He can do that. But he was at Indiana before Kirk Cignetti. He was gambling against his own team.
Right. They were
they
terrible.
They were bad.
Jeff wants to talk to us. Let's get Jeff in here. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great, guys. I just had to drive through town the last couple of days and was getting nostalgic hearing Longhorn Scott. I started listening to you guys when you first started, and I thought, man, it's got to be 30 years now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not quite.
97. But. We started in 97. Yeah, 29 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I listened to you guys for so long, and I don't get to listen to you as much. And man, I just wanted to call and tell you congratulations. Really appreciate what y'all have done over the past three decades. It's really entertained me. So
thanks,
appreciate it, man. That's a call.
That's a great call.
That's a great call. And everybody,
it's a great call.
You know what? Who owes us? You should call in. Okay.
Who owes us?
Well, you owe us, a compliment.
A debt of gratitude.
You owe us a compliment or two.
Yeah, a debt of gratitude.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
Good way to put it, yeah.
We've brightened up your lives for three decades now, okay?
Sometimes,
maybe a little thank you, like Jeff.
Sometimes some of the information we've given has been wrong, especially over the last couple of years.
Well, yeah,
probably this morning we did that.
People are already like,
certainly possible.
Is John voting in the Maine governor's race?
Why does he know so much about Graham Plattner?
He's not voting in the Maine governor's race.
How can you not know about Graham Plattner?
Yeah, we've heard.
I mean, honestly, you must be in a hole somewhere.
Actually, if you're not into politics, you'd have no idea.
Yeah, to be fair. You wouldn't know.
If you're not in political Twitter, you wouldn't know who that guy is.
Right. Just some random dude from Maine.
Oyster farmer from Maine?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know. He's on every news cast.
That's what I'm saying, but why would you watch news if you're not into politics?
Yeah, I'm too busy watching U.S.
Maybe because you care about
not Maine
stuff.
No, news is bad now.
Yeah, people hate news. They don't want bad stuff, though.
David Muir is not bad, okay? David Muir is a great American.
I don't think
American.
He's bad, but okay. A lot of news is negative, and people kind of want to avoid it.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Well, that's a
you could have been watching.
Not national news.
You could have been,
oh, David Muir is the ABC
Yeah,
guy.
I heard it. Yeah. I got what he was doing there. Yeah.
I recognized him. I saw him like, oh, this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could either watch the news or watch U.S. versus Brazil.
Or watch
You got
Obsession.
Choices. Mm. Oh, yeah, Obsession. Did you see it?
I saw Obsession last night. Yeah, I got
Obsession was a
movie.
Oh.
I got uncomfortable as soon as she went back out to the car, soon after he made his wish.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, oh, I'm a little worried about how this one's going to go. Which I knew it was going to go horribly because it was a horror movie called Obsession.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, boy, woo, you got to really be careful how you word it if you get a wish. If you get a wish, you got to. I hope she loves me more than anything in the effing world. Well, get ready to have your entire door duct taped up so you can't get out. Like, that was like, oh, this is too much.
Well, the one guy who made the wish got it right, but it went poorly for him at the end.
$1 billion.
And he got it. That was a clean wish. And then stuff happened later.
He understood the assignment there.
Yes.
Yeah. Although, it's going to be hard to just spend cash.
Are you guys telling everyone the movie?
That's a small plot thing. It's,
it's a real easy plot. A guy makes a wish that the girl's obsessed with him or that she loves him more than anything in the world, a girl he has a crush on, then she actually does, and that's it. And you can imagine, and it's a horror genre. So you imagine how horribly this goes.
So the director shot...
He probably liked the sex at one time.
Yeah, and then it got, it got weird.
And then it got sideways when he wakes up in the middle of the night.
She's hiding in the corner.
I was like, I'm out. I just don't know if I can continue
to
stay
apparently here. The director shot several scenes where she played it, where she actually liked him and she didn't like him. So you never were really sure. And he intercut depending on what he wanted. So you're never really sure how she felt about him until he did the wish
kiss
thing.
The person on your left, like, oh, this is not good. That actress is, she's good.
All right. Just go see it then if you want to see it, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a sensation, John.
It is.
Obsession. Once again, yesterday it led the box office. So it didn't lead the box office over the weekend because other stuff came out, but on Monday, right back up to the top. It keeps making money.
I don't like scary movies, though, so I'm not going to see it. I probably will never.
Yeah, you're not going to enjoy what she's up to.
No, I'm not going to enjoy that. I just stay away from them. I avoid them.
No. 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 I
was like, don't do that. Yeah, it's not going to be
that.
Good.
No. I'm like, hey, sit down in a restaurant where she starts to flip out like, You get, so you don't like when things make you, like Larry David.
Uncomfortable. Makes me uncomfortable.
Okay, so there's going to be stuff in here where you're like, yeah.
Ricky Gervais.
Only with threats of violence.
Yes, and Michael Scott, they all make me uncomfortable, but I enjoy them. The slasher stuff I don't enjoy. That's not me. Time to talk a little Houston Powder Coaters. That's me, okay? I love Houston Powder Coaters. Okay, so our city looks great. And I don't know if you noticed, and maybe you haven't noticed, but I'll tell you this. Who hired Houston Powder Coaters? The city of Houston. To beautify the city for the World Cup, which is here, okay? So they said, listen, we want our city to look as good as possible. So they hired Houston Powder Coaters to go throughout the city and all anything that's metal, make it look great. Our lamp poles, our street signs, everything. Well, not everything, but they did as much as they possibly could. And there's we want to beautify. We want to make Houston look as good as possible. So who do you hire? You hire Houston Powder Coaters, the biggest and the best. There's a show out that's called The World's Best. And guess who the powder coating company is? Houston Powder Coaters. They could have picked powder coaters from anywhere in the world, and they picked Houston Powder Coaters. Why? Because Houston Powder Coaters is the biggest and the best. Houston Powder Coaters pick up and delivery absolutely free, and the job that they do is second to none. I've seen it. It's unbelievable, the workmanship and the care that goes into each and every piece of metal that goes into that oven. You're looking for the best way to powder coat something. Get with the best. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here. HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN 97.5.